Welcome back to Bid Nerds, everyone. This is a brand new episode of the Nerds, your daily nerd out of the most interesting car of the day from all the automotive enthusiast auction sites. My name is John Polnick, along with my host, Michael Deeb. We welcome you to this episode. This is the show where we find the most interesting car of the day from all the auction sites, and we have a conversation about that car, and then we make predictions of what's going to happen with that car's results. And we reconcile our predictions with those results at the end of the episode. So make sure you stick around to the end to find out how wrong we are. And usually we are very wrong. So we thought today we would bring in some help and get a third nerd on the panel. Welcome, Woo! Naveed. How you doing, buddy?
What's up, guys? Thank you for having me. Excited to be here.
Michael Deeb, why don't you tell everyone who Naveed is?
Our friend Naveed. Naveed lives out in the East Bay. Where are you? Fremont? Hayward? Where are you?
Yeah, I'm in Fremont for now.
Fremont for now. Season.
Yeah, that's what everyone wanted to know is where he lives. No, who the heck is he? What does he do? Why is he so badass? And why do we suck so bad at this? And why is he better than we are?
Naveed can drive anything and drive it well and faster than you. Don't let him drive your car because he'll make you look bad. Naveed writes and shoots for Petrolicious and Type 7, and he's working with Marked now. And I always forget the other one, the Speed Hunters. Speed Hunters, that's who he's doing. So look for Naveed. Eat with Naveed on Instagram and car consulting. How do you say it again on your handle?
Collector support.
VAT? Collector support. So look for him on his handle, Collector Support, and you can see some of the cars that he's represented. If you have an interesting car that you want help with selling on any of the auction sites, contact Naveed, and Naveed can do all the heavy lifting for you and help you maximize your return. It's an investment that is worth your time and energy. You'll be happy. He basically pays for himself. So reach out to him on Collector Support or just contact him direct at Eat with Naveed on Instagram. Thank you, Naveed, for joining the show. How are you?
I am doing really well. Super excited to be here. I appreciate you guys having me, and thank you for such a warm, welcoming welcome.
All right. Well, let's get to the most interesting car of the day. We just want to remind everyone out there, if they're new to the show, please subscribe, like, hit the notification button. All those things really helps out the show. We're a growing show, and the nerd herd is getting bigger by the moment. And we really, really appreciate you guys who have been watching and hanging out with us and growing along with us. And we also got a shout out to our friends at God and Porsche of Las Vegas. If you want to avoid the hassle of all these auction sites and you want to just go find the car you want and just have a one-stop shop, go check out our friends at God and Porsche of Las Vegas. They always have an amazing selection of classic Porsches and, of course, brand new Porsches. They have great features like Vegas delivery, where they'll fly you in, put you up at a hotel, and you can drive your Porsche around town, and then you can get back on the airplane and go home, and they'll ship the car back to you, or
you can
drive
it
really
home.
Be a real Porsche owner and drive it home wherever home might be. So thanks to God and Porsche of Las Vegas for supporting the show. All right, today's car, this is an interesting car. It's gorgeous, and it's on a platform that we all have opinions about. Michael Deeb, why don't we talk about the car, and we'll get into the nitty-gritty on the listings here. What are we looking at?
Cool car, cold platform. JP, on P Car Market, they have sourced for our enjoyment this 1990 Porsche 911 Carrera 2 backdate. The donor car is what they call ROW, rest of the world 964. So it's got a ZZZ VIN. The car is showing 69,000 kilometers, which is basically 43,000 miles, and it's offered for sale out of Miami, Florida. So with a back date, John, what we're talking about is they're making it look like a pre-G-body car with a long hood. And this is a popular way to go. This car came out of Japan, but interestingly, it's left-hand drive. So that, right off the bat, I have questions, which doesn't surprise me with anything that's listed on P Car Market. The car was originally spec'd as a desirable sunroof delete. As you know, we have sort of the second generation of the G50 five-speed gearbox in this car, and it's rear-wheel drive. The person in Japan who did this backdate essentially was going for something that had kind of an RSR creation. As such, John, They grafted on the front and rear wide fenders, which I think looks really cool. The part I take umbrage with is you've got the really cool RSR fenders, but then you've got these like monster 18-inch wheels tucked under the lips. And I think the cool thing, if you're doing a backdate, is go with the smaller wheel and the fatter tire. I think that's where the action is. My guess is this guy didn't want to change his brakes, so he went with a bigger wheel. But the ducktail spoiler, the Recaro seats, I love those little sort of GT racing side mirrors that are grafted into like the smoking windows or the vent windows that we used to call them. Cool car, beautiful color. That color, John, is a rare original paint to sample Murano green, which I have to say, even with my time with Porsche, I've never heard of that color, not a color I'm familiar with at all. And I'm not a huge fan of turquoise, but I just like that this car is a distinctive color in its own right. And so by that rationale, it's very cool. You can see the Momo steering wheel and the RS door cards. The Recaro seats are cool, but the green doesn't match the color of the paint. So like I'm scratching my head going, why did you put those ugly seats in the car? I think this car would look much more attractive if it just had black interior. So low miles, rare donor car with the sunroof delete. I dig the grafted on flares, but I would change the brakes and change the wheels and tires and absolutely have a blast with this. Guy does a driving video. I'm not knocking the video in any way, but, you know, having, you know, come to the conclusion that I'm going to let go of this 914 that is just too raucous and raw for me. It's like too extreme, and the 901 is such a pain. Watching this guy just sort of put down a boulevard in a smooth-sounding, smooth-shifting G50 964, I watched the video, and I am Murano green with envy. So I know you two both love modified Porsches. I know you've both owned cars that are not terribly dissimilar to this. So, Naveed, I'll send it to you first. What do you think of this build? What do you think of 964s in general? And then we'll come back around and see what we think this guy might get for this car. And David, I'm totally going to put you on the spot. What do you think of the platform? I think previously I've heard you say that of the big three, P-Car market was not your favorite, which is way too diplomatic. Give us some dirt. Like, what do you think? And I'm not, you know, you don't have to bang on them, but like, have you ever had a good experience with P-Car market? Do you think this guy made a mistake taking this car to that platform? Would you think he had brought more money if he chose one of the other two, and which one would you have picked for him?
platform wise, I don't think there's a right or wrong answer. It's just a matter of how much do you think that your car is going to resonate with that market specifically. And in this case, I think it's the wrong platform just because P-Car market is definitely filled with a little bit more, I would say, people who are on the purist side of things, a little bit on the older age demographic compared to Bring the Trailer. And I say this based on firsthand experience because, you know, of the many cars that I've sold on Bring a Trailer, I will say that probably 80% of them are first-time buyers. It's like the first time they're buying something as an enthusiast car, or it's like their first Porsche or their first 911 or BMW or whatever it is. They're actually, yeah, they seem to be catering a little bit more towards the younger demographic, which often resonate more with a modified 911 like this. This is very intimidating for somebody who's a first-time buyer who's looking to, you know, start their air-cooled Porsche 911 journey. This is definitely for somebody who's a little bit more seasoned and somebody who's open to modifications that are a little bit more non-purist, a little bit more focused, yeah, on, like, you know, the RWB style stuff. Yeah. So in that regard, I don't necessarily agree with the platform that they've chosen here, but I will say that that platform does come with a discount. I think I mentioned it in a previous episode, but I bought my 997 GT3 off of P-Car Market, and at the time, I think I got about a $10,000 discount just because it was on P-Car and not on Bring a Trailer. So
interesting. Yeah, there you go.
There's definitely ups and downs to it. In regard to the car, though, this is an interesting one. I'm going to assume this is a RMC Miami car just because it looks like it's posted in the same place that they take their pictures all the time. The thing with RMC Miami as the seller is they definitely buy stuff that is, you know, unconventional in terms of like modified Porsches and stuff like that. They always have crazy, weird, you know, super over the top stuff that comes from Japan. And I like that. I especially love Japanese styling because I'm definitely, I would say, more so of a JDM fanboy than I am a European car fanboy. But
oh, I didn't know that about you. Cool.
This car specifically, I have a lot of questions about it. Like, it's going to be very hard for me to determine the price point of this thing just because there's so much going on here that like kind of makes sense, kind of doesn't make sense, and I'm just like, I don't know how I feel about this car right now. I will say that there's probably a lot of potential here, but yeah, I don't know how I feel about the car.
JP, what do you think, man? You have a car. I mean, obviously yours is younger than or older than this car. But you've got a G body that your Carrera right now is a G body backdate that's not terribly dissimilar to this. I mean, at least in spirit, right?
Yeah, I mean, my car is a Carrera backdate, but it's not 964 Carrera backdate. This car, you're right about the RMC thing, Naveed. You know, we have our sister channel, The Rami Show, my partner on that channel. He has two cars that he's gotten from Japan. And they're both left-hand drive. I think it's pretty common for Japanese market buyers to buy cars like air-cooled Porsches and bring them in to Japan when they're left-hand drive. I think just because there's just that many more of them, it's easier to get them in when they're young and do mods on them. My buddy Rami has a roof, a Japanese roof GT2 993, and it came from RMC in Miami. And yeah, that car is as whiz bang as anything you've ever seen. It is louder, not just like literally louder as in, you know, break your eardrums louder, but it is louder in appearance than any RWB I've ever seen. It's got every wing and banana and nut and bolt and crap hanging off of it, and it is just so intimidating when you see that car. Looking at But the thing about an RWB or Rami's roof car is that unlike the RWBs, the roof can deliver on the look, right? You look at that car and it looks like it will eat you alive. And guess what? It
It
effing
will.
will. There is nothing on the road that is as scary to drive and to have behind you than that car. It is a absolute monster. Whereas this 964 and a lot of RWBs, you know, they have the look, but they don't have the poop to go with it, right? This car looks like it's going to eat you alive, but it's just a 964, and 964s have a nice amount of power, but they're not, you know, they don't have that much power. I'm looking at the exhaust on this thing, and it looks like it's got something under there that, I mean, that exhaust is pretty darn badass. I don't know how much extra horsepower that's doing. It doesn't look, you know, it might have a chip or something like that, but looking at the engine from the top, it looks like it's the stock management, all the same fuel, you know, fuel injection and stuff like that. So how much more power does this car have over a regular 964? If you're going to backdate a car or if you're going to make a super hot rod, I think it sucks when you go wide body if the car isn't going to have the power to live up to the look. My backdate is a narrow body, you know, Carrera, and I like the look of the wide body, but I'd be embarrassed if it couldn't really live up to that. What do you think of that, Naveed?
Yeah, I think that's spot on. You know, with this car specifically, it could very well be good power to weight. This is why I have so many questions. Is like,
Yeah.
you know, they make these backdate kits so frequently now, especially for 964s, that like, is it like, I don't know if this is done in fiberglass or if it was done in steel or if it was done in carbon. Like the carbon cars, if you do this whole car in carbon or something of that sort, you're gonna pull off 800 pounds off of this car, and it's gonna be an absolute monster with that 3.6 in it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's like
John, what's
at the same. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just gonna John, what was the name of that company that Rami almost bought the car from that does the carbon 964s?
Gunther Works.
Gunther Works. Yeah, it'd be like a Gunther Works, right? I agree
Yeah,
with you.
so.
Yeah, it'd be unbelievable if it was carbon.
Exactly. And I mean, I'm gonna assume not. It's probably, you know, partial steel, partial fiberglass, but that still does help with like weight reduction and stuff like that. And it could make the car really interesting to drive. It's just for me, some of the stuff doesn't look right. Like the panels and whatnot that are used on the car seem to look, you know, kind of like cheap fiberglass. I'm not entirely sure though. I would need to see like I would probably want to have this car inspected in person before I bought anything, but like some of the stuff just does not, like if you look at the hood pins, they don't line up exactly, like symmetrically to each other. And then also that front lip is for sure not like anything fancy. It's just the fit and the waviness is a little weird in my opinion.
Right.
So for me personally, like I just feel like, you know, I think the 964 is the best air-cooled 911 chassis, period. But I don't know if this car was done right, but I could see the reason why they use that platform. I'm also biased. You know, I have a turquoise, your favorite color, 964. Yeah. So, like, I don't know. But I do think that they picked the right chassis. I can understand why they use the 964. 964s have the updated suspension. They have better wheel arches. You could fit large wheels in it like this if that's the look that you're going for and it doesn't throw off the proportions too much. I think that you get a lot more sound insulation in the car. I think a little bit more safety with like the airbags and all that stuff, even though it's removed on this car. So I like that they used a 964, but at the same time, I'm like, you know, this was a special colored 964 in a slick top. You kind of ruined it. So I don't know.
I kind of almost wish that if, you know, if you're going to butcher up a 964, I mean, obviously Singer uses 964s and stuff like that, but make it a 964 wide body that's still a 964. Because those are, you know, that's the car that's all the rage right now. And then it retains the 964 look. And it's got to be a way easier conversion to do than a long hood conversion. Because I know from long hood conversions are a pain in the rear or pain in the fender or whatever you want to say. But I think a 964 wide body conversion could bring as much or more than this backdate look, honestly, especially in a wide body version. I think this car would have looked better if it was going to go long hood. I think it should have stayed narrow.
One thing I wanted to add on there is just that, like, I'm kind of tired of seeing all these different people backdate these 964s. Like, Singer, I know they didn't start it, but they obviously perfected it, and everybody knows that at this point. So it's like, just give up on this chassis. Like, go to the old G-body cars. There's so many MIDIs and so many G-body cars that, like you said, it's so easy to backdate a G-body car versus a 964. There's way less parts that you have to deal with. There's way more availability. You won't feel bad about it. They come factory with flares and all that stuff. So, like, just leave the 964 alone. I don't understand why people keep doing it with these cars.
Yeah.
Is that the new decal and t-shirt? Save the 964.
I like leave 964s alone. Yeah. Have you ever had a car in Luftcult there, Naveed? I know you're wearing the Luftcult t-shirt there, Luft 8.
Yeah. This past Luft 8 that I went to, my 964 was in the show, and it probably will be in the next one as well.
So Patrick likes your car. We're going to print up some t-shirts that just say Patrick doesn't like my car for the next Luft, because my cars never get in.
What are you hearing from the rumor mill as far as a location? Because I talked to a bunch of guys at Easy, and since all the hotel recommendations are in Vallejo, the rumor mill has it that the show will be somewhere on Mare Island. Have you heard something similar to that, or have you heard something different? I'm curious to know, since you're so you're tapped in.
My best friend's girlfriend ran Luft this last one, and even she was like, I have no idea where they're planning on doing this. Literally nobody knows. And I have like full blown inside baseball with the last person who ran the last one. And like, nobody knows where they're planning on doing this. I have ideas and hopes that they're doing it at like somewhere interesting. Well, like if it were me, I would do it at the Naval Base 100%. That's like one of my favorite places to do stuff.
When I heard Mare Island, I said there's a Naval Base there, and I thought that'd be really cool.
But a lot of people think
it's going to be at one of the shipyards anywhere on Mare Island, because it would offer a surplus of space. They could accept a bunch more cars.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that's the smartest thing to do. That's what I would go for in terms of accommodation. Also, it's very secluded. It's like removed from like the rest of the Bay Area, so you don't necessarily have to deal with like pedestrians and traffic and all the other shit, which is good. I don't know if you ever heard of a show called Blocks. It was like maybe 7-8 years ago, very JDM, like not really European stuff, mostly Japanese stuff. But they did this venue in San Francisco. They did a show over there near your, like, where what's that area called? The Dog Patch. It was like in the Dog Patch.
Yeah.
It was sick. Like they full blown took over like two warehouses, and there was like street art and all this stuff all over the place. It was amazing, and they had like a mezzanine there and all this stuff. So I'm like curious if maybe they got a hold of those people and like are trying to use that spot, because that would be a good location for sure. So we'll see.
Interesting.
All
right,
guys,
cool.
back to this car here. You know, Naveed brought up a bunch of questions that it just flat out doesn't surprise me that the answers to those questions are not in the damn auction listing. It's like that is so P car market. With regard to the platform, have you ever had a positive experience with P-Car Market? Have you ever had a bad experience with P-Car Market?
I've definitely had a couple of bad experiences with them. I've sold two cars on there. Yeah, I've sold two cars on there, and both of them we had issues both times. One of them was a reserve issue. I can't jump into the like heavy details of it because I don't want to make them look too bad. But it, long story short, customer service was not the greatest. One thing was promised to me about a reserve, but unfortunately that one thing was not delivered upon.
Wow.
And then when it wasn't delivered upon, the car ended up selling for about like 20 grand under what it was supposed to sell for, which the seller was not super happy about, as you can imagine. The thing that ended up saving us was that the same seller was selling two cars on there at the same time, which I was selling for him. At the same time, and the second car ended up selling for about 20 grand over what we wanted. So we got lucky and made up the difference there. But if we didn't, that would have been a major problem. And on top of that, the person I was representing at the time, I'm sure you can imagine, was still upset because like that was a 20K additional profit margin that he could have potentially had, but unfortunately wasn't there because of some miscommunication from their part. They even had, the CEO or the owner or whoever it is reach out to me and kind of like apologize for the miscommunication. But to be honest with you, like from my personal perspective and relaying everything with the person that I was representing at the time, we were not really happy with like, they didn't want to do anything about making up a difference or giving us even a refund for whatever expenses were incurred for that specific listing. Like that was not an option for them. And in my opinion, like if you fuck up as a business owner, you need to do something to incentivize the people to continue doing business with you. Otherwise, they're going to take it elsewhere. And as you guys know, as we all know, I have multiple other platforms to sell on and not have to stick with P-Car Market. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, that just sounds like a used car dealership trying to get money back from them. Good luck. Oh, yeah, they'll apologize up one side and down the other. But when where the rubber hits the road, they won't do crap for you because they don't care. You mentioned some things about P-Car Market early on about their demographic and how the cars that are more pure on their auction do a little bit better. And I never really put that together. You know, when they came onto the scene, one of the things that they did right was advertise on everything PCA. And I feel like PCA members actually know about P-Car Market more than BAT a lot of times, especially the geriatric wing of the PCA, which is about half of it. You know, if you have pleated pants, know P-Car Market, but you have no idea what BAT is. And a lot of times I think they think that P-Car Market is PCA because you type in PCA and you're either going to get P-Car Market or PCA. So, they did right by that. And so maybe do you think there's a correlation with the demographic that's of cars that seems to do well and their early connection to PCA?
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. I got, I mentioned my 997 before, and I got that car for that discount because it had some like slight color modifications with like interior trim pieces and stuff like that. And that deterred a lot of people away. It was like literally in the comments. They're like, oh, well, this car was optioned with gray interior trim and now it's white. So like, are you willing to reverse it? And he was like, no. And they were like, cool, I'm out. And they just didn't buy the car over something stupid like that, which in my opinion is like super easy to fix. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So their demographic is definitely more on, I would say, probably the boomer side. Yeah. And they definitely want stuff that's, basically the way that it was ordered and not really modified in any sense or regard from there.
By boomers for boomers, P car market. All right, we have not even gotten to our predictions. What do we think car, what will be the results of this pretty darn cool looking 964 backdate? Michael Deeb, take it away.
JP, our car closes in a few days from now. It's sitting at $55,000 on six bids by RMC Miami out of Miami, Florida on P car market. I would think that a slick roof 964 brought in from Japan with just 43,000 miles would be a $120,000 car. But somehow, all the money that was spent on this, I think, is not going to be realized and probably hold the car back. And so I kind of agree with Naveed that I don't know that the buyer is going to find this car on P car market. And so as such, I think it's going to be whatever it peters out at, it's going to fail to sell and probably wind up in the deal tank for like 150 grand. But I think the petering out is going to happen at $110,000. So I'm going to say $110,000 with the asterisk that it's an FTS and winds up in the deal tank. So Naveed, where are you at on this thing?
It's so funny you mentioned the deal tank here because I was literally thinking that exact same thing. I'm like, honestly, I know how RMC works. I know how PC or P car market works. And I feel like I understand the car. I think this is going to bid up to like maybe 125, I think is where it'll go on bids. And then I think that it's not going to sell. And then I think it's going to end up in the deal tank at probably 179 asking.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
you think the owner is that in love with it?
Yeah, oh, so it's not that.
It's RMC.
I don't think that. Yeah. I don't think it's the owner that's in love with it. I think it's the fact that I know how much RMC sells a lot of their stuff for, and it's extremely expensive.
Yeah. So they don't give their stuff away.
Nope.
Yeah. So your number was what? 125 is your bid.
125 is the bid, and then 179 deal tank.
All right. And
I started there. Yeah, at 110.
110, 125. I'm gonna be with Naveed. I'm gonna say I'll go 130. What the heck? And also think that it fails to sell. Crazy enough. I mean, it is a 964, and it is in amazing condition. So honestly, I don't think that's a, even if this were on BAT, I don't think that'd be a bad price if it actually sold for it. I mean, it's a crazy awesome car, but for under 150, I think that would be on the mark. Anything over 150, if the seller thinks it's worth that, I think it's going to go in the deal tank. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, just to add a note, I think that RMC probably went to bring a trailer first and asked for like a 180 reserve, and they said no.
Good take. Yeah.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Yeah. I would,
what do you guys out there in the nerd herd think? What is your number? Now is the time to plug in your number in the comments below. Hit the subscribe, like, and notification button. And we're going to find out what the results of this 964 backdate on PCAR market is right after this. Hey guys, I gotta tell you about our friends Godin Porsche of Las Vegas and Godin Classic. If you're looking for a new Porsche or a classic, you gotta call our friend Steve at Godin, this guy.
1989 linen gray metallic G50 cab.
Is that going to be for sale?
It is going to be for sale. The car only has 65,000 miles.
Save yourself the hassle of screwing around with all the auctions like we always talk about and just talk to Steve. He'll find you the classic Porsche you're looking for, Godin Porsche of Las Vegas.
If you love watching car videos on YouTube, you got to check out my channel, The Rally Show.
Oh, this car!
I am driving a 2020 Lamborghini SVJ. This car, watch this. Oh! 115 mile an hour turn, like it's nothing.
It's nothing, and like we are here in the future. Welcome back to Bid Nerds, guys. Thanks for sticking around to find out what happened with the close of. Wait a second.
Yeah.
Yeah. What car are we talking about? The close of
my 914.
No, we already
no
did
longer
that.
My not. Yeah. Well, are we still doing the 914?
No, we already did it.
All right. So, what car are we talking about?
For those of you who are watching going, hey, what are these two yahoos doing? We have a special episode for Michael Deeb's 914 close. We actually recorded the close of his car, you know, live. We actually recorded it live and we watched the close. So we're not talking about the 914. So check out that episode. That was probably yesterday's episode. Today's episode is about this 1990, car over there.
Yeah. The backdate,
the 964 backdate. Jeez. Do we, the bid nerds don't know what they're doing. We don't even know what show we're talking about. Yeah. All right.
We're just bidiots. So
I like bidiots.
Yeah, bidiots. So this is the car out of Florida, offered by RMC Miami. These guys have a lot. They specialize in bringing in really cool cars, JP. I'm sure you're familiar with them. I was. Naveed was, who was on the show with us to help us open this car. Really neat build.
Hey, just interrupt. You know, Rami's GT2993 roof was bought at these guys.
Oh, interesting. And did he say nice things about working with them?
He had a good experience, I believe. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I thought. Yeah. Some of their cars have some questions. This one certainly left us, you know, kind of reaching for what we thought the car might bring. It's basically a 964-2 with a backdate to look like an F body RSR with the wide flares and the ducktail spoiler. Cool car and certainly a lot of money invested in it. But certainly, we were very bearish on the value. Me, of all people, I said that I thought this car would peter out at $110,000. Now, part of that is the fact that this car is on P-Car Market. So I was betting on the platform as well. John, you were the high man at $130,000. And I think you were really looking at all the equipment and what it would cost to replicate this. And Naveed came in right in between us at $125,000. So our car petered out at $171,000. That was the final bid, where it failed to sell and is now sitting in the deal tank, offered at a buy it now price of $195,000. So JP, you won this one outright by being the high man. I just want to give you this one number because it's interesting. When a car closes on P-Car Market, they take away the number of the bids. So in order for me to report on how many bids went into this lot, I literally have to count them myself, and it was 27 bids. So it failed to sell on 27 bids and remains in the deal tank even today, offered at $195,000. So one, at $171,000, I'm just going to answer this for you, John. I think we're all surprised by that number. I think it did better than we thought it was going to do. The question I have for you, John, to make this conversation a little more interesting is, do you think it should have sold for $171,000, or do you think $195,000 is fair for the quality, or maybe not the quality, because we can always argue aesthetic, who likes what and who doesn't like what, but to graft on fender flares and to find a slick roof, C2964, and then, you know, to put seats and, you know, exhaust and suspension and all the things that went into this car, and then you'd obviously have to repaint it and all this other stuff. Do you think $195,000 is too high for this car? Do you think $170,000 fun, you should have taken the money and run, and nobody's ever going to pay him $195,000? I feel like you know these modified cars better than I do. $195,000 seems high to me. Maybe that's why I'm asking you this specific question. Like, $171,000 should have taken this deal. Where are you at on the numbers that have come to the surface for this lot?
Are those zip ties holding something to the
A stack
to
of
the accelerator pedal?
Yeah, that's pathetic.
I didn't notice that before, but that's worth an extra $25,000. This guy should have sold it for these guys should have sold it for $170,000. I'm guessing.
That's what I'm thinking.
Was this a consignment or was this their car? I mean, I think it's absurd not to have sold it at $170,000, especially given now that I think we're going to go into a more rocky period. This is definitely not a blue chip car. This is an awesome car that both of us, I'm sure, would love to drive, and we'd probably change a few of the mods to make it a little bit more tasteful. But this car, I'm sure, is just magnificent to mob around in. But you start getting in that darn near $200,000 range, you're going to want something that is a little bit more blue chip, I think. This is not an investment grade car. This is a rich dude, you know, bro car. you know, you can see my car above our heads up there. My car doesn't look that much different, but mine ain't worth $200,000. There's no way in hell. $170,000. You want mine for a buck and a half? Somebody can come and get it. Here's the thing. If I know we say it all the time as a broken record, P car market is a bunch of freaking shysters. I want to tell you a story. I'm so ticked off at myself. I put up my 964 convertible for sale.
I almost know where you're going with this.
Facebook Marketplace, I think it was last week, just to see what kind of, you know, I put it at kind of a response. High price, and I just wanted to see what people said, right? And the comments were great and everything like that. And I got a bunch of leads, but I don't actually want to sell the car. I mean, if someone would have really gotten aggressive with me and wanting to buy it, I probably would have gone further down the road, but I was getting a lot of looky-loos and okay, fine, whatever. One response that I got was from a guy, and I should have pulled this up before I brought this up, but I got a response from someone. Michael Deep, talk about your restaurant for just a second. Tell everybody about the Knob Hill Cafe while I look this up.
Well, here, I'll tell you a funny story. So, I sold my Mercedes 190E, and the guy who bought the car lives in Southern California. And so out of the blue on Saturday night, while I'm working at the restaurant, at the end of my shift, I see I got a bunch of texts and this guy wants to come up. He literally got on a 10:30 flight out of LA and was landing at SFO, and he was trying to tell me that when the flight landed at 11:30, he would be to the Knob Hill Cafe in San Francisco by 11:45. And then he sent me a picture of his ticket with his itinerary, and of course I had to call him and be like, dude, there is no way you would be to the restaurant in downtown San Francisco before 12:30 midnight, and I am not waiting around for you for 2 hours at the end of my shift to deliver you the car in the rain. Like, this is not happening. So I wound up having to go down and meet him first thing in the morning, him and his buddy, and I brought my friend Al with me because I didn't want to go meet strangers at my garage by myself, if you can understand that. So I rent a garage close to the vicinity of the restaurant, and we keep a couple cars there. And I just was like, I'm not going to meet somebody, a total stranger, at the garage alone. So Al comes with me, and he goes, I bet those guys were up all night just getting hammered. And I was like, no, I don't think so. And dude, they showed up in the morning, JP, and his friend was smoking a spliff like this long, and his eyes were totally bloodshot and closed. And I said to Al, I just started cracking up. I was like, no way. These guys are totally blunted out, and they're going to drive my car in the rain home to LA. I was like, thank God it's out of my name. You know, I filled out the form the night before on the DMV and did all the liability stuff. And it's like completely out of my responsibility, because I was like, I don't think these guys stand a chance of making it home. It was really funny. Not what I expected at all.
Well, you know, I mean, that's the thing. Closing a car, it can be sketchy. I mean, you hear stories of crazy stuff going down. I mean, at least having done this through the platform, there is some transparency there, right? I mean, if, God forbid, something terrible did happen, it's not like it would be difficult to track down who did it, right? You respond to an ad from someone on, you know, Craigslist or whatever, you don't know who the hell you're meeting. You don't know anything about them, and there's no way to track them down, right? Because they could just have a
I felt pretty good. The guy I had asked him, because I knew I wanted to fill out that form, and so I said, hey man, send me a copy of your driver's license so we can do this release of liability thing. And to his credit, texted it right over to me. So I've got his ID, and it matched up with all the documentation of the transaction. So I was actually pretty fine. But then, you know, we're supposed to meet at like 10 a.m. I call him at 5 to 10. I said, I'm going to see you in 5 minutes, right? And he calls me, and he sounds like he just woke up. And he's like, oh, we're getting an Uber right now. We'll be there in like 15, maybe 20 minutes. And I'm like, oh. And so my buddy Al sitting next to me in the car while I'm talking to him. And he goes, dude, I bet they were up all night doing rails. And I'm like, and so, you know, just culturally, I was like, no, I don't think so. I said, you know, our new friends from the Near East, they're probably, and I'm joking, like I'm being facetious. I'm like, they probably smoke hashish, right? And then they get out of the Uber and literally it was like Jeff Spicoli, like the door opened and like all this gas comes out and this guy's got a spliff in his hand and he's like lighting it up again. He's like, hey man, what's up? Oh, and this is the best
part. Uber driver let them light up in the back of the Uber?
I don't know, man.
That guy gets 5 stars.
Absolutely. Here's the best part, right? So the guy who's smoking the spliff, the friend, right? They say hi to us on the street. They shake our hand. They thank us for meeting them there in the morning. And then I didn't want to put the car on the street in the rain. I wanted him to come into the garage and touch the paint while it was dry because it's clay barred and it's beautiful. And when they come into the dark and we're in the garage, the guy who's smoking the spliff looks at me and he goes, I know you, man. You do that show on the internet where you talk about cars. I was like, no way.
He's one of the nerd herd?
He's one of the he's watched the show and he recognized me from Bit Nerds. I thought that was effing hilarious.
Oh, that's awesome. Comedy. Wow.
Dude, this guy's they're half shut. He can barely see. He's got a joint in his hand and he's like smoking this huge spliff and he's like, oh, dude, you're that guy from the show. And I'm like, oh, no way.
I got to think a large double-digit percentage of the nerd herd out there probably when they're watching the show are smoking out. I mean, I noticed that when the show publishes at 9 o'clock every morning, you know, we get a handful of views of the diehards. Shout out to, you know, Family Guy and Church House and Myers. But really the bulk of the views come in the evenings when people get home and I'm thinking they just light up and just like, well, let's nerd out, bro. So we love you guys too. We're glad you're part of the nerd herd. Do you watch the show, high or do you, is this, I mean, I can't imagine any other way to really sit through this BS than to be
the nerd herd is 420 friendly. That's for sure. Without a doubt. Without a doubt.
The new Adult Swim. All right. Well, I'll save my P-Car Market story for the next time we talk about P-Car Market. Because P-Car Market sucks. Let's just say that. What do you guys think of the results of this car? Anybody going to the deal tank and buying this thing? Do you guys think there's any chance in hell that someone's buying this thing off of there? I mean, RMC, they get quite a bit of traffic on their own. They do a great job advertising.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of surprised that they would, you know, hitch their wagon to something like P-Car. I think that doesn't I think that any company selling Porsches out of Florida is going to have an issue with reputation. I think cars, we talk about cars coming from Florida as always being challenged. And I got called out, one of our fans is from Florida and they're like, hey, we're going to dip out here. Look, I like Florida. I just am worried about cars that come from Florida because let's face it, your environment is pretty harsh on plastic and metal that's 30, 40 years old. So
And so is Vegas, but for a slew of different, you know, reasons. But Vegas is harsh on cars. I mean, that's just the way it goes. I go ahead, JP, finish your point because I want to touch on one thing you just said there.
No, I was just reiterating that. Yeah. You know, I think RMC should be putting their cars on BAT.
Okay, yeah, and so here's the thing, right? So that point that you just made right there, I wonder if they looked at this car and whatever they've got invested in it, because Naveed touched on that and said, you know, they ask big money for their cars. He said that's their MO. He said they're good guys and they have good cars, but they ask all the money for them. My guess is they probably couldn't get the reserve they wanted to protect this asset on BAT, thus going to P-Car Market, knowing they could dictate the terms of the reserve. And if it didn't meet it, then they could just throw it in the deal tank, which is just another set of classified eyes. And this car is probably already back on RMC's website as being available. So, you know, I mean, I just think that that to me is my educated guess as to what probably happened and why this car wasn't on BAT, because it's certainly deserve to be. Look, this is a nice car. They might be asking a lot of money for it, but it's still a really nice car. I would change the seats and be very happy to own this car.
Seats and wheels, and you're done. That car is epic for a long time.
Yeah, I would do the actual speed lines that should be on a 993, and then leave it as a backdate with cool wheels that aren't, you know, kind of cartoonishly large.
Nice Explorer.
And I, Yeah, and I would just get so 9.964 speed lines are actually prettier than the 9.93s. I think they have a better dish, and then get a better, you know, more apropos seat and have fun with this car. This is probably a fantastic car to drive. So we'll see what happens. Let's see if it comes down. If it comes off the deal tank before it times out of the deal tank, that'd be the interesting thing to watch from here.
What do you guys think of the results of this lousy auction on a crappy platform like PCar Market? Let us know in the comments below. We're going to be checking out your bids and seeing who did a better job at it than the nerds and our third nerd from last week, Naveed. Thanks again. Shout out to Naveed for helping us out. That was
love
awesome.
You, Naveed.
See you guys tomorrow.
Get those nerds!